Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X, broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. You know, I'm fascinated with the fact that we win an award before the show even starts. That's just, that shows how good, what a great job you're doing. And I've gotten you speechless.
No. I'm just thinking that our reputation precedes that, us
there
here.
You go.
I mean, they're already engraving it, and the show hasn't even begun.
That's right. It's the preceding reputation award.
It's because we know we've got some great guests in the studio.
That is really what makes us award-winning. It's not you and I. It's the guests.
Here are some of the companies we're going to highlight today. Catalyst Wealth Management. We've got Brian Pierce. He's a wealth advisor joining us this morning. From Mighty Eighth Media, we have the managing partner, Jonathan Holmes, is in the studio. And from the law offices of John M. Miles, I need my reading glasses. John M. Miles, counselor at law. What do you know? It's John Martin Miles. It's a shocker.
It's awesome. I'm glad that he's here.
Let's start with Brian Pierce from Catalyst Wealth Management. Brian, good morning. Tell us all about your company, Catalyst Wealth Management.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here. Catalyst Wealth Management, we're an independent wealth advisory firm located in Suwanee, basically on the north end of Johns Creek, so we're Forsyth, Suwanee. And, you know, essentially what we try to do is build relationships with specifically business owners. And our job, we feel like, is to help them get their financial house in order pre-sale, help them through that process to make sure that everything's protected, help them grow their business along the way, make sure that everything on the personal end, from their investments to their insurance to their cash flow planning, is appropriate. And then we basically try to help them crusade for a meaningful exit, so helping partner them with the right tax counsel, legal counsel, and ultimately any type of legacy planning or estate planning that would need to take place. We make sure that they have a good team around them, and we try to quarterback their situation.
All right, when we talk about wealth management, that's a very broad description. Is there specific areas where you really are an expertise in?
Yeah, so specifically it's that business owner market. What we found is that a lot of traditional wealth advisory firms shy away from the business owner market until they've gone through liquidation. Everybody wants to meet with that guy once he, you know, pops a business and he's got $3 million or $4 million. Everybody's knocking down his door, but they're not with him, you know, 10 years out, trying to help him actually grow that asset and understand some of the pitfalls potentially that would be there. And ultimately, that's kind of where we feel like our specialty lies.
Brian, I noticed in your introductory remarks, you did talk about pre-sale working with business owners. So I was going to ask, what's the time frame? What would you say is a good time frame? You mentioned 10 years.
And yeah.
So obviously the sooner the better. Imagine that I'm a business owner, which I am.
Yep.
Is it just today, no matter when that is and why? You know, why do you want to get in there early in the pre-sale process?
Yeah, as early as possible. Obviously, you know, we've met with a lot of people that, you know, they'll come to us and they'll be, hey, we're 6 months out and we've already got an LOI for the business, and there's just so many things that they've missed out on an opportunity from a tax planning standpoint, maybe even from a structure of their business standpoint at that point. So what we'd like to try to do is as early as possible. So, you know, 5 to 10 years out would be ideal. There's a lot of things that we can do.
And you would probably argue even before they have in their mind, oh, I'm thinking about starting an exit strategy, you're really just saying we want to work with business owners because whether it's setting up for a sale or just helping them run their cash flow. Talk a little bit about that. You know, let's take the sale out of it. Why do you want to work with business owners and what are, and I love how you said it, you know, everybody wants when they got the, you know, $3-5 million from selling the business. But before that, what are some of the common mistakes business owners are making with not working with a good wealth management firm?
Yeah, I would say the biggest mistake that we see is that they don't start the business with the end in mind. They start the business because they feel like they have a good idea. They feel like it's an opportunity maybe to grow something. They have a good product or a good strategy. But when we talk about from the true business planning standpoint side of it, you know, really the end should be in mind, you know, at the beginning. And so that's what we talk about as early as we can get with them. We can help them make sure that the structure of their business is proper. A lot of times the structure of the business, while they're in accumulation mode or while they're growing that business, might be the right structure, but it might not be an advantageous structure for them on the liquidation side. So there might need to be a change that needs to be made. That might be 3 years out, a year out, whatever the case might be there. And then from a tax planning standpoint, You know, not all buyouts are simple. It's not always, hey, I'm ready to list my business and I've got, you know, four, you know, ready buyers standing there at the helm ready to take it. So there might need to be some type of employee buyout, you know, over a long period of time, maybe an ESOP type strategy or whatever the case might be there. So it might take a 5 to 10 year, you know, really true planning process to get that business to a point where they can ultimately maximize the value out of it.
You're listening to Brian Pierce. He's a wealth advisor with Catalyst Wealth Management. Brian, tell us about you. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so I'm a native Georgia guy. I grew up over in Roswell.
Not many of those around here.
I know. We're rare. My wife and I actually grew up together, went to high school together, went to college together.
Where'd you go to high school?
Roswell, yeah.
And where'd you go to college?
Played baseball down at Georgia Southern.
Nice. Yeah, wow, so you really are a Georgia boy.
I'm a Georgia boy, man.
Nice.
Yeah, full bred. But yeah, so graduated, got married.
He's a Roswell Hornet, though.
What's wrong with that?
I was a Milton Eagle.
Oh, boy.
You are our big rivals.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike, you love to find rivals because you went to UGA and I went to Georgia Tech, so
well, listen,
that trend
continues.
We've
got the whole gambit covered.
I know, we do.
If he said he went to Georgia,
where's the Panther?
It's bad enough he went to Roswell. If he said he went to Georgia Tech, I would have cut him off right then. We would have gone on.
It would have been over. Yeah.
We would have gone on to Jonathan, our next guest. Yes. Okay, I'm just sorry.
No, that's fine.
Let him tell his story.
I give everybody a hard time.
I like it.
I didn't like the way this story was starting. All right?
You know, one of my best friends went to Milton, so I get it. You know, we go back and forth a lot.
There you go.
But, yeah, I got started in the business. I actually have family in the business. That's kind of how I got my start 6 years ago. And, you know, we've tried to just build a culture around our firm that lives and breathes family. That's what we are. We're all best friends, and we do the best we can to help everybody out there. But big golfer. We belong down at St. Ives Country Club in Johns Creek. So I play a lot of golf, love college football.
Now he's just bragging.
No, I'm just, you asked me about myself, that's me.
So and then I interrupted you three times, so I apologize for that.
You're good.
Brian, if you guys focus on business owners, I think one of the thoughts people have if they are a business owner themselves is they think, you know, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. Think
sure.
There's 98 things on my plate I'm trying to cover. Are there certain types of businesses that you find really need your services more than others? Is it small? Do you guys go from small startup to very large? I'm C-level executive. Kind of talk about the breadth of who you guys deal. What are some of the ideal clients you guys look for?
Yeah, sure. So I would say it's less probably about the business, and it would be more around the person and the type of person they are. A lot of our clients are very type A type of people. They're really good at what they do. They're really good at delegating, and they understand value when they see it, and they're wanting and willing to pay fairly for it. So they understand that their value to their business is going out and growing that company. It might not be the administrative side of it or the financial side of it. And a lot of times that transitions over into their personal life too, because their business is typically their biggest asset. And so what we try to do is come in and fill that void to allow them to feel free to go out and grow their business and really spend their time and energy doing what they're good at. And we try to take that burden of the financial matters off of them.
Brian, much of our audience is business owners, business leaders, business executives. What are some of the more common financial mistakes that you've seen business people make?
Yeah, just not starting early enough. I think that they really do a good job of getting in and trying to grow their business. I think a lot of times there's a little bit of a lost sense of a focus on what they're trying to grow it ultimately for. You know, are they trying to ultimately grow it to pass it along to a family member? Are they trying to grow it to sell it? A lot of them don't know. And so that's part of our process too, is just really helping them uncover that, because they might not know. They might have just had a great idea and they've grown their business, and it's kind of that now what. And a lot of them don't just have one business, they've got multiple businesses. So it might not be that they grow this business for 20 years, exit it, and they're done. It might be a what's next, you know, type of strategy. Are they going to go invest in another business, or are they going to be done? And we can hang out and play golf together.
And you talked about business owners, and you talked about them. The right type of client is one who sees the value in what you do. And then you talked about the process. Unpack that a little bit for us. What is the process if a business owner calls you mm-hmm. at Catalyst Wealth Management and they say, all right, Brian, I'm ready to start. What does that process look like? What's the, you know, how much time from first nice conversation and maybe a round of golf to becoming a client? Talk through that process.
Sure. Yeah, it's a little bit different. We're not in the wealth advisory business, more in the traditional sense. There's a lot of transactional types of businesses out there. Ours is a little bit longer of a process because we are really taking a lot of time to get to know them. A lot of times from the time we meet somebody to the time that we actually even engage in a full business type planning relationship, it might be a year, you know, 2 years down the road of just getting to know them and trying to figure out what's really important to them. As far as the process goes, really what we're trying to uncover, you know, early on is, you know, it, again, going back to what is the end game? You know, what are we ultimately trying to get to here? And then we'll take a look at kind of the way that everything is currently structured. So from the business structure to the team, again, that they have built around them, do they have the right counsel, you know, already in place? We try to build that team out for them. And then essentially we're going to take a look at where they are, what they're currently doing, and we're going to try to help them prioritize, you know, the next best places that they can either create value for their business or for their own personal situation, and we're going to help them execute on it.
Brian, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. This question might be fantastic and you'll love it, or you'll want to gloss
it.
Over it,
bring
and,
it
and give some, you know, PC answer and move on.
Sure.
You said at the very beginning, you talked about in working with business owners, being the QB. One of the things I've noticed when it comes to business owners and all the different people that sit around their table to help them, the attorney, the insurance person, the wealth manager, all that, is there an issue with business owners kind of knowing who that QB is? Or have you come across the situation where there's a lot of people around the table, nobody knows who the QB is? Kind of talk about being the quarterback when it comes to the business owner, why you guys are good at that, and imagine a room full of business owners. What would you say to them about making sure they know who that QB is?
Yeah, I would tell them it's less important about whether it's us or whether it's their CPA or whether it's even them, as long as somebody feels like they've got the reins. And I think that, you know, anytime that we could have a, I'd love it to be all equal parts. You know, I'd love to, every time we shoot an email out, I'd love to have, you know, their attorney on it, the CPA on it, them copied on it, and everybody's literally sitting there collectively trying to work in that business owner's best interest. Those are typically the most successful relationships. We have some business owners that are pretty savvy when it comes to the financial end of it. They have a pretty good idea of what they're doing, and they're already extremely successful, and they really just want us to provide a sounding board. So we work in that environment. But then there's other situations where we've got business owners that say, hey, listen, I'm an open book. I'm really good at, you know, building decks, or, you know, I'm in the architect business or whatever it might be. And I'm really good at that. I have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to, you know, the financial side of it. I'm just kind of hoping things work out. Can you lead that team? And if so, that's when we'll go out and we'll build their team for them.
So there's no one right answer. And
I think so.
And yeah. Part of what you guys are doing is trying to figure out the type of person and where you guys need to fit in, where you are the full quarterback or whether you're sharing it and they're kind of still being the quarterback.
I think that's perfectly said. We have the capacity and the ability, and we love to do it if it makes sense, but we don't have to. We don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. We're okay if it's the CPA and he says, hey, go implement. And we say, great.
Before we let you go, Brian, I've got two quick questions.
Sure.
You talk about, you know, you work with businesses. How do you find new business? How do you find these people that you work with?
We've built, over the years, we've built a really good team of COIs. We've got some really deep relationships that we've built so far.
COIs.
Centers of Influence, sorry.
Okay.
So we've got
I'm the Georgia guy in the room. I'm not the Georgia Tech guy. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, he got it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. CPAs, we've done a pretty good.
CPAs.
Yeah, we've done some good business.
What's that?
Certified public accountant.
Okay, now I'm just joking. Go ahead.
We've got some really good relationships with attorneys and estate planning attorneys specifically. Some pretty high-end property and casualty insurance type people that have built us out. And then a lot of it's just personal observation. You know, we don't take on 1,000 relationships that we can't effectively manage. We're trying to take on the right relationships. So we're not a high volume shop as far as how many new client relationships we take on. So
okay.
When we take them on, they're typically pretty good.
Okay. And I'm going to give a little secret away for folks that are listening, how we kind of work the show is sometimes we ask our guests to provide us some questions, and you provided this question, and I'm going to ask it because you really piqued my curiosity. What's a random fact about you that nobody would know? Typically, I would not ask that question, but it's on your list.
It's on the list. Yeah, I was actually sitting in the office talking with one of the guys, one of our partners, and I said, I've got to come up with a list of questions to kind of help steer the. And that was the first one he thought of. He was like, "You should tell him to just ask you about a random fact." And I said, "Wow, I would have never thought of that." So, a random fact that most people don't know: Tiger Woods called my house over in Roswell when I was growing up, and spoke with my dad, and I got to talk with him. On the phone for a little bit when he was coming up playing at Stanford and you know, winning U.S. amateurs and all that type of stuff. My dad's in the golf business and knew him for a little bit before he was you know, big and famous and winning 14 majors. So
that's kind of a cool fact. That is very cool.
And it's quite random.
and the fact that he called our house. That was kind of cool. Right. You know, it wasn't Mr. Pierce the other way around. Yeah.
Well, for those business people that have been listening and they go, you know what? I like what I've heard from this Brian Pierce guy. I'd like to know a little bit more about Catalyst Wealth Management. Give us any contact information, websites that you'd like to share.
Sure. Yeah. For more information, they can go to www.catalystwealthmanagement.com. www.catalystwealthmanagement.com, or they can give us a call at 678-679-6925. 678-679-6925.
Brian, thank you so much. Thanks for letting me, you know, kind of pick on you a little bit. With
that was fun.
That whole Roswell Hornet thing, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
I'm used to it. That was fun.
Mike, you've got some deep-seated
I've got issues.
Rivalry issues. But one thing you also have is a wonderful relationship with SpeedPro Imaging in Marietta. SpeedPro Imaging helps businesses stand out by providing high-quality large graphics. If you can imagine it, they can make it. As the industry leader for large-scale printing, they deliver impactful messages that share a message, attract attention, and reinforce your brand. To find out more, visit speedpromarietta.com or come into the Gwinnett Business Radio X studios and see an example of their work.
Well done, Steve. I do love my folks at SpeedPro. Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Mighty Eighth Media, it is Jonathan Holmes. Jonathan, I'm going to ask you a really tough question to start off this interview. Tell us about Mighty Eighth Media. What do you do?
All right. We're a full-service creative marketing agency, but following along the same lines as the gifts previously, we actually are a wealth management firm as well.
What?
We're a marketing agency, yes, sir. We have to look at people's bottom line, have to know someone's annual revenue, have to know where they're getting their dollars from. And we're a creative agency, and we develop brands and grow great brands, but it comes down to the bottom line. And so we're a great group of creative folks, but really enjoy helping someone grow their business and making sure that we do it the right way.
You're in a pretty competitive field. So why did you start your own company and what makes you different?
The reason we started our company is because you had people in the business, particularly in the creative business, because you had a lot of fluff that people do as far as their perception of marketing. What is marketing? If I handed you a flyer that has two words on it that said, call me, that's marketing. And also there's a lot of times where a business will throw a value prop out that has no sustainability. It doesn't mean anything. So part of it is that we wanted to create an agency and a business that was authentic with the people we hire as well as the way we do business. So we tried and we have succeeded in building an authentic business where we work hand in hand with our clients to grow their business, and there's no agenda other than driving their revenue.
All right, so I'm a business owner and I hear about you and I reach out to you. How can you help me?
Well, first of all, I have to know who you are. First of all, I have to know you as an individual, and just like your previous guest on here, is that we vet out people just like they do, is that we're very selective with who we bring on as clients because we have to make sure there's a cultural fit within an organization and also that we make sure that we can deliver what they need. And so if someone has aspirations to grow their business by 10%, 5%, whatever they want to do, or if they want to double, triple the revenue, then we have to take a totally different stance based on their goals.
Jonathan, I'm hearing you talk a little bit differently than I've heard some of your competitors talk, so I'm going to let you unpack that a little bit, because you talked about being a wealth manager and you talked about bottom line.
Right.
I think, and you also mentioned fluff when it comes to marketing. And I think a lot of business owners sitting in a room, you could start with a question of who's had a bad experience with marketing.
Correct.
And they'd all raise their hand. Would you agree with that?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and is that because they don't really see bottom line results for the marketing that they're doing? Are you trying to reverse that and say, yeah, let's really look at the bottom line of working with us?
Right, numbers don't lie.
So then let me ask this question. Can you give us an example, and you don't have to use business names if that's privacy protected, but can you give some examples of people you've worked with and say, yeah, this is how it helped their bottom line?
Oh, sure, absolutely. One of my favorite things when I first meet with a client, I find out basically where they're spending their dollars, also the revenue they're trying to attract. And just recently I met with a gentleman that was spending 75% of his revenue on 12% of his income. And so looking at those metrics as far as really where they're spending their dollars and also where the revenue is coming from, and also making sure that their value prop is succinct. Because these days, people are very visual, they're very fast, and they make decisions within 2 seconds. And so if you don't immediately have the transaction that takes place, then they're not going to be able to make a buying decision for you. So you have to make sure that you're able to throw the value prop out there, people engage, and they buy immediately.
We're talking with Jonathan Holmes, who's one of the partners and strategists at Mighty Eighth Media. I'm going to ask you a little bit of a fun question now, because in marketing and media, you got to have a little fun. where did the name Mighty Eighth come from? Because on your business card, you got a picture of a plane, so I think it's probably tied. Right. Tell me about it.
Well, my business partner is a War II buff and likes aviation, and we joke that he was a reincarnated War II pilot that crashed. And then I grew up in South Carolina.
He crashed. He couldn't be like a hero. He had to crash.
And I grew up in South Carolina flying a small prop plane, so we both had a love for aviation. And so the 8th Air Force is out of Savannah, and the 8th Air Force played a huge role in the turning the German tide as far as basically freeing Europe. And so we liked the fact that it was in Georgia, but also the fact that it's old school and the fact that we do what we say we're going to do and that our value set, we have contracts, but our word's worth more than the contract as far as what we do.
You know, you already kind of mentioned, and Stephen asked the question, you know, what makes you a little different? Because you mentioned wealth management and stuff like that. And I mentioned it to Jonathan, Stephen, when he first walked in. He doesn't look like a typical marketing guy like we've had in the past. He's got the three-piece suit. So he almost looks like he really does care about your bottom line and your wealth and so forth.
Well, and image matters. I mean, yes. Just the way he dresses, the way he presents himself. So, and that, of course, doesn't translate into radio gifts yet.
Right.
But they can go to your website and see stuff like that.
Yeah, the off-pitch. And if you go to the Business Radio X and you're listening to this show, there's going to be a picture of Jonathan right there, and you can see how good he looks. Are there certain companies that you work with more than others, some that you maybe specialize, a certain market?
One thing that we specifically did as a creative agency or as a marketing firm is that we want to make sure we didn't specialize in a vertical. You have different people that will specialize in healthcare, financial, government, and so we intentionally did not go after a particular vertical because we want to make sure we understood all practices, but also as a group that we're able to meet business owners where they are. Kind of what's found us is the financial sector, some of the startups, manufacturing, and some of your technology-based organizations. But also, from our standpoint, we almost, as a company, don't care what the product is. We care more about who the other person is across the table and who we're working with.
And I'm going to say what's impressive, too, is we've had a marketing company on before, and I won't give any names. It's been a while. They came in with ripped jeans and a T-shirt. And it wasn't even a clean T-shirt. So, I mean, you talk about image, Stephen, you mentioned that, you know, marketing, image, perception, all that. I mean,
I'll even take it a step farther. Again, you know, 75% of your revenue accounts for 12% of your bottom line. Not many marketing companies talk like that.
No.
So, and I can see why you're attracted to financial, because I was, and I'm sure Brian next to you was sitting there thinking, yeah, that's not a good return on investment right there.
Right.
So that helps. Jonathan, let me give you a chance to wax poetic here for a second. Imagine, you know, you're in a room full of business owners, which is what you are here on Business Radio X, business owners listening. Kind of break down the message and start with what are some of the main mistakes, the biggest mistakes that you see business owners making when it comes to their marketing? And then maybe it's just a retelling of what you've said earlier in the interview, but what you guys are going to be able to do to fix those mistakes.
The biggest thing that I find is that business owners think they don't have the ability to change their organization. They think they don't have the ability to grow their revenue. But also one of the biggest things is they don't understand the demographics. They don't understand how people are buying these days. And then through that, they have to understand, like I said, we all have cell phones. We all have quick ways of doing things. People don't understand how quickly that people can understand how authentic a company is by a two-second glance, and that if you don't pay attention to detail and present yourself in a professional manner, you're gone in 2 seconds.
And that's what you help them do.
Exactly.
Is bring that message.
Right.
So the business owner who says, no, it's just about relationships. It's just about building relationships. One of the things you guys say is before you even get to that step,
correct,
you've got to make a good first impression.
Absolutely. All right. Think about these days, and we talked about sports earlier. I'll never forget when I purchased my TV that was not the big box, but was the flat screen. I went over to a friend's of my house. I'm a huge college football fan. And I saw that TV that was wide and flat and visual. I was on the field with these players. I'm like, okay. The next day I went out and bought myself a new TV. At that point, I realized that how much better visually it was. And so a lot of times people don't understand the visual impact of things. And particularly one of the big elephants in the room is that the millennials are coming up. Millennials are one-third of the population. They know everything about the way things look, taste, and smell. And so if you don't have your stuff together, or you don't know what it's supposed to look like, and it's sharp, clean, precise, just like your TV, then you've lost their business
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this, and I hope this doesn't go too quickly to your head, but I see here you've been selected 4 times as a best place to work, top 10 best places to work by Atlanta Business Chronicle in 2008, top 10 best places to work in Georgia in 2010 by Georgia Trends Magazine. What makes you guys such a great place to work at, and why am I not working there?
It's
that would ruin the awards. Oh. That's come on. Okay. Just set that on a tee. I'm going to knock it out. Okay.
I'd like to tell you there was a lot of science behind this, but the bottom line is my business partner and I had worked for really crappy people.
And you just did the opposite.
And we do the exact opposite and create an environment and provide benefits and perks and things as far as camaraderie to our employees that other people don't.
Sometimes the best decisions you make are based on bad experiences
exactly.
that you have.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like throwing a notebook across the room, cussing at somebody. That doesn't occur at our agency.
That's not a good place to work.
Exactly, right.
And you got to continue to educate yourself because the business you're in, it's always changing because of iPhones now and web marketing
Correct.
And mobile marketing. It's not
right.
like in the old days where it might be just a billboard or a TV
right,
commercial.
Right.
So talk about how your business is, the trends are changing all the time.
Well, like for example, like also with Brian, like the wealth management the thing that might keep him up is the market. The thing that keeps me up is new technology because I don't know in any second what might happen that will displace another type of technology that then all of a sudden. It's gone as far as a particular market share. So I have to make sure in reviewing all the demographics, the way everybody absorbs business, that it's across all platforms. Because if you look at it, back in the day, in the 50s and 60s, if you wanted to market your business, you would do it on a magazine with an ad, a TV or radio. Now you've got thousands of outlets, thousands of places to do it. And so you have to really be selective with where you have your message and how you say it.
So what he said there, Mike, is he's not going to talk to you about your Yellow Pages ad, and you're not going to help with their MySpace page. Is that
right,
that's
exactly?
What
I can't believe I still get a big Yellow Pages book, and the first thing I do is I put it in the recycle bin.
Exactly, you
I
do.
Mean, it's
right.
amazing. And 10 years ago, something like Business Radio X would not even exist.
Correct, right.
But here you are. You know, people are listening to us on computers, on their iPhones,
right.
on their iPads.
Podcast, right?
Yeah,
it's
digital content.
How about
is king.
How about fax advertising? You know, sending faxes. That was 15 years ago.
Right.
20 years ago. So.
But
now it's changing every year.
But see, I'm old school enough to where in my little gray hair shows is that if you have a piece of paper that says call me on it with a napkin and that generates revenue for you, then that's effective marketing. Just because you hire our agency and we do something beautifully creative doesn't mean it necessarily is effective. It's really the effectiveness of marketing is if it drives your bottom line.
There you go.
How do you find new business? Because you always have to grow. How do you find
Well, obviously through our clients. And then obviously, since we are in the business that we are in marketing, we're very aggressive as far as our own platform, as far as what we use, as far as digital space, as well as being in the community and also from a visual standpoint. So we look at kind of the way we do things holistically for ourselves as well.
Great stuff, Jonathan. Jonathan Holmes, Mighty 8th Media. For those who would like to find out more about your company, please share any kind of contact information, your website, social media sites, whatever
yes.
you'd like to share.
Well, our web address is www.m8th.com. That's like math, but change the A to 8, Mighty 8th. And our phone number is 770-271-3001.
Great. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Mike, before we go to our next guest, I have a trivia question that I need to ask you.
No, Tiger Woods never called my house.
I didn't say random fact.
Oh, okay.
I said trivia question. Do you know what makes a Subaru?
I'm not sure, but will you tell me, please?
I will be happy to tell you. You should know this.
Metal?
No.
Wires?
It's love.
Love?
Love is what makes a Subaru.
Could you explain further, please?
I will be happy to explain further. You can get big savings and enjoy their hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Hey, are you already a Subaruist? In a way, you are, Mike, because we are in the Subaru of Gwinnett studios here at Gwinnett Business Radio X. Then you need to follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. So you failed the trivia question, but we still love you.
Well, I want to ask Jonathan, though, was that good marketing right there for Subaru?
Yes, it was, but one thing I would change is I'd actually put you in the car, put you in a pop-up so it looks like a car and put images around you.
I thought he was going to say,
animate a little bit, throw it out on social media, that type of thing.
Now,
so.
Him or me?
him specifically.
Oh, man.
I'm the star of the show.
Yeah, I do have a face for radio, that's for sure.
Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate that. All right, our next and our final guest, but last but not least, as they always say, but I don't ever say that, John Martin Miles. I know, I just said it. John Martin Miles with the law offices of John M. Miles, counselor at law. John, you must have done a great job when you first came on a few months ago because we've asked you back, so welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Give us the view from 10,000 feet. Tell us about your firm.
I am a solo practitioner lawyer, and been in practicing in Gwinnett County since 1976. Started out in Snellville for about 30 years and then moved to Suwanee about 8 or 9 years ago. The practice has always been just me. That's got its good points. It's got its bad points. From my point of view, I've got a really nice boss. From the client's point of view, when you come in and you retain me to perform a service for you, I'm the one who performs the service. I don't hand it off to some $20 an hour flunky while I'm sitting in the office billing you for his time. So it's what you see is what you get.
Well, obviously that's a conscious decision to not have partners. Why did you go in that direction?
When I decided to go out on my own, besides being an attorney, I'm also a registered architect. And I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I didn't want to just take the architecture and throw it away. And I didn't want to throw the law away. And I wanted to be able to do both things. And I looked around and there were no firms at that point in time who were willing to recognize my dual certification. The architectural firms wanted me to be an architect, the law firms wanted me to be a lawyer, and I wanted to be both, and probably the only way I could be both would be to either open my own firm or find someone else duly licensed. And at that point in time, I only knew one other person who was similarly duly licensed.
John, obviously being an attorney and an architect, as you just said, is a little bit of a specialty. There are so many different types of laws. What types of law do you focus on and concentrate on and can best help clients with?
Over the course of the past 39 years, the, quote, type of law that I practice has morphed, sort of paralleling the economy and what's needed to be and what people are looking for. At the present time, our concentration is in what we call preventive law. And preventive law goes back to in the 1700s when Benjamin Franklin wrote Poor Richard's Almanac. Benjamin said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And there's nowhere that little aphorism is more true than when it comes to hiring an attorney. If you are deciding that you want to engage on a business venture, and before you engage Brian to help you, and you come to me and you say, should I do this? And I can look at your proposal and I can say yes or no and charge you a couple $100 for my opinion. Or you can just go ahead and do it anyway because that's what you wanted to do and get involved in it. And then about a year and a half down the road, you're in it up to your neck and you come to my office and you go, how the hell do I get out of this? And I says, well, here's what we do to get you out of it, except that it's going to cost you several thousand dollars at this point in time. It's lawyers are not really very expensive. There used to be a furniture store in Atlanta that had a sign in the window that said, good furniture is not expensive if you pay enough for it. And that's similarly true with attorneys. Attorneys are not expensive if you hire them early enough and often enough, because it's a whole lot cheaper to get out of trouble, to stay out of trouble, than it is later to get out.
What are some of the other areas where ounce of prevention really help? You mentioned, you know, someone starting out in a business and sitting down with you. I would imagine contracts and just kind of speak of some of the different areas that you would say, here's where the prevention is really needed.
All right. In business, the real area that you need to look at is the organization of your business, the relationship between the participants in the business. And what people don't realize is that the other side of your business organization coin is your personal estate planning. It is extremely important that your estate be in order and that your partner's estate be in order. I had a client one time who had a great idea, but he didn't have a whole lot of money. So he went and found two angels. And one was a friend and one was an uncle. And the business took off and it made a ton of money. And then about 5 years later, one of the angels and Mrs. Angel had a disagreement. And Mrs. Angel became the ex-Mrs. Angel. Unfortunately, in the divorce decree, she got Mr. Angel's stock in the company. So where we used to have the guy with a great idea and two angels, we now have the guy with a great idea, one angel, and the shareholder from hell. And her first action of business was to elect herself to the board of directors. We now have a mess. It took several months and several thousand dollars to unravel that mess. And after we finally got it unraveled and we're at the conference signing the papers, the attorney for the shareholder from hell says, "Do you know, all of this could have been avoided if y'all had had a shareholder's agreement." And I go, "What are you doing this to me for?" And fortunately, my client had a very good memory because she says, "I know, John told us we needed to do that, but we just never got around to it." Had they had a shareholder's agreement, they probably could have gotten out of, they could have bought the shareholder from hell out for about 15 to 20 cents on the dollar for what it ultimately cost them. So
it sounds like there's plenty of times where you just shake your head. But because of people, you know, trying to either save money up front or whatever reason, I mean, it keeps you in business. I mean, God bless these people that continue to make these mistakes, or else you'd be a full-time architect.
Well, that's true, but it reminds me of a cartoon I saw one time when Snoopy was Joe Lawyer. And Snoopy was wearing his derby and carrying his briefcase, and Linus came up and says, "It must be an awesome responsibility to know that your decisions affect people's lives the way they do." And Snoopy says, "Not really. I've never had a client follow my advice." So just because they come and get your advice early doesn't mean they're going to follow it.
You probably have that cartoon right there on your office wall, you know, framed and everything.
I did for several years.
It's at the top of his letterhead, Mike.
Where do you see yourself, John, in, you know, a couple years down the road? I mean, what are some of your plans or goals?
Well, I'm probably going to continue to practice because I, you know, you think that the ideal life would be to sleep late and play golf, but I think that that would probably get old after about a year and a half. So I would have to keep doing something. I think I'll be continue to work and work with people and hold their hands and guide them through the minefield that is trying to do business in the United States today. People don't understand that simple decisions, simple yes or no decisions, can have gigantic dollar and cents consequences later on.
And I think a lot of times, too, people will go into business together. They're best of friends. "Oh, we don't need this agreement or whatever. I'm sure you're smiling. You've heard this before."
There's two people who say, "We don't need that agreement." And those are people who are entering into a business relationship and those who are entering into an other than the first marriage. "We're going to stay together forever. We don't need a prenup. We're great friends. Our business acumen complements one another, and we're never going to break up, and we don't need that agreement." Well, when everybody's friends, you can put the agreement together and look at that. When people come into me and they tell me that they're going to go off in this business venture and we're going to produce the best widgets that have ever been produced and we're going to do, our marketing schedule is going to be like this and we're going to have this money put aside for futures, and they tell me all of this and it sounds great, and I sit there and then they leave. And I lean back in my chair and I gaze blankly at the ceiling and I go, "What can go wrong with this?" Because my job, as I see it, is to listen to what you plan to do and figure out what can go wrong. And when it goes wrong, how are we going to handle it?
You have a very friendly voice, and your job as the attorney is kind of to be the friend to say, "You know, you might not have thought of this, but..."
And there's an awful lot of "you might not have thought of this, but..."
Now, John, one of the things you kind of talked about business owners and personal estate plans where people come to you for a specific event. Is there opportunity, and I am thinking specifically of business owners here, is there opportunity for people to have a long-term relationship with you where they can kind of keep you on retainer? And if so, are there scenarios where that would make a lot of sense financially for the business owner to think about that?
You know, that's why I went to law school in the first place. I graduated from Georgia Tech, and
I like John.
Outnumbered.
I like him.
And went to work in an architectural firm. And this was in the early 70s, and it became very clear, very quick, that everybody in the construction industry was Sue happy. And I thought that if I was going to practice architecture in the arena that existed at that time, I was either going to have a lawyer where I could pick up the phone and call him, you know, once, twice a week and ask him questions, or have a working knowledge of the law. And I chose to go to law school. We have several clients who ask us, who remain clients and call us on a regular basis with questions about their business and how they should operate. And it's very distracting to have everybody waving the flag to their respective colleges.
The fellow tech guy in the room was going to say, John, I can't believe you actually answered that question, as everybody who hasn't spoken yet was lifting up stuff about which college they follow. You should sue them, John. Sorry.
Saw South Carolina, saw an Auburn. We got everybody in
and
here.
In Nebraska, I think.
Nebraska here. Over there.
No. Husker. All right. Okay, John. Bottom line, business owners can work with you either on an as-needed basis or on a retainer basis. And I would imagine that's open to discussion and trying to figure out what the best return on investment there is.
When the client comes in, we talk to them and we determine what the scope of the services they need is going to be. Is this going to be a one-shot, we need to organize this company and you're going to go run it and I'm going to sit in my corner and wait for the roof to fall in on your head and you call me back? Or am I going to be here available for you all the time and we can work this out? We have different ways that we approach it and different arrangements we have with clients about how we continue to work for them.
All right. John Martin Miles, Law Offices of John M. Miles. Give us your website, any other contact information you'd like to share, please.
Okay. We've got our office is in Suwanee, Georgia at 970 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, which is right across the street from the post office and the Chick-fil-A there in Suwanee. Got a satellite office in Johns Creek on 11380 State Bridge Road in Johns Creek. There, basically, the official hours are 9 to 5, 8 to 6 is probably more realistic, 5 days a week. The website is johnmiles.com or www.johnmiles.com. And the phone number is 770-972-5650.
John, great. So thanks so much for joining us. All right. John Martin Miles from the Law Offices of John M. Miles, Counselor at Law. Also want to thank Jonathan Holmes from Mighty Eighth Media and Brian Pierce from Catalyst Wealth Management. A quick reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio X programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. You can also download and listen to any of these shows on iTunes. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. Trey Odom is our producer, and Steve and Julian, the co-host. Any parting words, Steven? A random fact, perhaps, or anything like that?
My life is a random fact, Mike. That's all I have to say.
That doesn't sound good if your wife is listening.
Isn't life itself a random fact? It was more of a deep philosophical comment than anything else. But as a UGA guy, I didn't expect you to follow it. So,
and on that note, we'll say our goodbyes. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.